30 to 60 days to restore that, you all are going to ask me what happened to the money bin. We can't afford to do business that way. So that's why we're putting forth this as a recommendation that we do a business case, that we do an RFP to see what kind of hosted data center we can have that's not a part of this particular Portland building, and we look at doing an intergovernmental agreement review with the state of Oregon and their state data center, of which I helped to build when I was at ODOT as their CIO.
To use them as a backup? Or?
Well, that would become a primary center for the Portland building data center. Now, what we would not move are criminal justice information systems. We want to keep that resident within our other two data centers, one at the Justice Center and one at BOIC. And we would make that kind of a change to keep those kind of CJIS data on-premise. The fifth area is around BTS business continuity. Now, we produced a business continuity plan with all of OMF recently. We actually had a chance to test that COOP plan with the power outage we had locally here and the snowstorm that we had. But it was a plan that was just beginning to be tested. We need to be positioning ourselves to test that on a regular basis so that we don't stumble through the kinds of things that we say we're going to do in that plan and that we can, in fact, restore services for our customers. To that end, we do have one ad package that will provide us a focused position on business continuity, which will also enable us to do a soft disaster recovery and a hard disaster recovery. Six, in the same shared services environment, is looking at major systems consolidation. So we asked our customers, what are the systems that they are maintaining that we may peripherally be a part of, but they have the more focus on these systems. And it turned out there are about six systems, be it asset and inventory systems or billing systems or workflow systems that we believe should be looked at in a business case to see what would be a natural fit for consolidation and saving dollars for the city. And so to do that, this recommendation would first commission the business case, a deep dive, drill down into those six systems. I have two of those systems alone. So Stellarad, I paid about $139,000 a year in maintenance. Another one, Maximus, I pay about $12,000. I would gladly consolidate those to an SAP platform, for example, which we already own, but we're not using. So there's a module there that we bought, we pay maintenance on, we don't use in this particular case. Likewise, we would do the same lens check of the other six. And it may be that we consolidate only three or four. Whatever the sweet spot in terms of return on the investment is really where we would want to go with that particular business case. The third area is sustainable cost management, of which there are four. Number seven is the enterprise architecture program. Now, we have an enterprise architecture program where we're looking at the business functions of some of the bureaus, but this would be an expansion to look at all business functions across the entire city. If we can find where we have business functions that are similar or actually redundant, then we would propose centers of excellence. Now, we have examples of this in the past. At one point, all the bureaus had all the procurement. Well, eventually, we consolidated that into one OMF procurement area. That's how we would uncover this through doing this enterprise architecture, looking at the various functions of the bureau. After that layer, we would go down to the information layer to see what systems are supporting those functions. Perhaps there's consolidation or streamlining or reuse of those information systems. Another deeper dive would be the data that reside in those systems. Where can we make reuse of the data? And then finally, the technology architecture that supports the data, the information, and the business functions. We believe there's about $15 million over 5 years that we could return to the city because of other similar activities that we've seen in other states and other cities. Number eight is really around mainframe enterprise server consolidation or elimination, actually demobilization. We've been trying to get off this mainframe for about 5 or 6 years. We have two remaining customers on the mainframe, police data system, it resides on the mainframe. They are earmarked to come off the mainframe by December of this year. Best case, worst case, March of next year. The other customer is the auditor's department, and we have a request for a proposal on the street to migrate them off the mainframe. Once we have taken those two customers off to different platforms, we will save about $700,000 to $1 million a year on the mainframe service. That's hardware, that's software, that's licensing for the software that's on that on those boxes, on the box, as well as the people that serve that particular IT service. Number nine is around the BTS budget realignment. Two things we looked at coming out of the budget hearings last year was we wanted to restore 24/7 support. That's about $284,000. We've done just that. We've now realigned the BTS budget to cover that money. The other thing was to restore the major maintenance support, which is about $928,000. We've come up with about a third of that money that we can restore coming into the new budget area, and we're going to be asking in the budget hearings for a deferment of the other two-thirds. Because once we get off the mainframe, we'll take that $700 to $1 million to make for the alignment of that mainframe cost going to the major maintenance. And finally, the city IT investment spend. Two things here. We actually underspend, as Sierra talked about, in the disaster recovery area. We think we can shore that up very well with a hosted data center and getting to that hot site scenario with primarily with the same cost that we are spending on our production systems today. And the other area is on cybersecurity. We underspend in cybersecurity. And as you all know, you've heard about the Targets of the world and even Marcuses of the world losing personal identifiable information. We have not done that yet. And I'm here to try to make sure that we don't get to that. But we do see other local governments, state governments, undergoing that kind of loss of data based on cybersecurity not performing the way it should. And so we want to figure out ways within BTS to shore that up. Now, one thing we are doing in that area is to move some of our information systems analysts down into the operational areas where we can actually recruit for these folks a lot easier, and that the folks who will be in an information security area will be more systems architects around security, getting to the things that we're simply not even doing today in security. So all the firewalls for operations, we're going to make sure that's maintained, but we also need to do a security fabric. We need to classify our data. We have all kinds of data in the city. So do we provide the same kind of security around PII or personal identifiable information data versus the kind of stuff that's on the website? We need to really do a data classification for all of our data, and that's one of the things that we'll be doing. The other thing is in R&D. We're underspending in R&D. So when I say R&D, to make this real personal for you, we have been operating on old Office 2003 software. Well, it's the year 2014. So we, for some reason, haven't been able to get to the right R&D to get us to the point where we say, yes, we're moving. Now, we're moving on one end because Microsoft isn't going to support the old software, which is forcing us to move. But that's the kind of discussion we're having with bureaus. What is BTS doing for us lately that is getting us into mobility, that's getting us into virtual systems and cloud computing, the things that we need to do to stay on the forefront of what our customers' needs are, and so that we bet on the right technologies going forward. That's how I'm defining R&D. Okay? And a part of this number 10 is to really do more of a transparency on our bills so that we do this today with our bills. In fact, we have a great, I think Ralph Smith is our point person on this, but we want to continue to get to clarity on what we are bundling so that our customers fully understand their bill when it shows up. So those are my top 10 recommendations on the heels of the Sierra Systems Citywide Technology Assessment. I would ask that the council consider approving as a contract deliverable, the Sierra Systems work, of which I feel they've done a fantastic job. I've reviewed all the materials, not only myself, but my management team as well. And then I also have some words that actually Thomas Lannon from the Revenue, as the Director of Revenue, he also would have to say.
So one question I have just in terms of the architecture of the report and your presentation is, and that is, I understand your top 10 and that they are sweeping up some of the Sierra Systems recommendations, but are all the Sierra Systems recommendations captured in this rubric, or are there some that are sort of sitting aside?
So on this document that has the green, the green are the there's a legend on the lower right-hand column.
Right, I see that.
You got the primary Sierra recommendations, the lighter green are the secondaries. There are some tertiaries that we've not adopted as a part of this report out document, but we have that as a part of the final report. And then, of course, the ones in the yellow are the ones that BTS is already beginning to work on.
And then you mentioned R&D. I understand the definition you gave, but I guess the version of R&D I'm wondering about, and I guess it essentially falls to you to capture this, but again, we have to make sure the bureaus are talking to each other, and that is when new technology emerges that would change a business practice in a bureau, who starts that conversation? Do you always rely on the bureau to start that conversation?
Well, no. It's a mutual conversation, especially since we have technology business consultants working directly with bureaus. We have people who are embedded with bureaus today. So they're in the next cubicle next to the customer, so they begin to anticipate what the needs are. So I think we have the dialogue, but I think what will make us go to the next level is in how we structure around communities of interest, that we can have real discussions around future needs with multiple bureaus in the same COI, which will lead to initiatives. And if it leads to initiatives, then the whole city will be able to have a conversation. Well, I'd like to have some of that as well, Bureau A, B, and C.
Well, or even within a bureau, I mean, let me give you a slightly whimsical example that we've talked about. So we're investing quite a bit of money right now in vehicle cameras for the police bureau. Those are downloaded into servers as the vehicles return to the precincts, and that data is kept in case there's a need to review what happened in a given incident. Other police bureaus are moving to body cameras or even Google Glasses for their officers. Who decides that we're at the turning point when we don't need vehicle cameras anymore because we've got everybody wearing Google Glasses, or we're going to switch to that? Who starts that?
Who finds that
turning point, I guess?
I would say it's a dual conversation. So for the example of the police bureau, we have our police IT team who actually sits at the table with the executives at the police bureau. And so they're talking about doing their next strategic plan around IT, police IT assets and services. So we are actually going to be at the table with them and having that dual conversation.
Okay. All right. That's healthy. Good. Thank you.
Thank you for an excellent report, and I'm glad it was at a very high level because I think I actually was able to capture and understand some of it. A few comments. Sorry that Steve Novick isn't here, because this would be the point in the presentation where he came up with another title acronym for you, and something like along the lines of AFL, and then he would urge a merger, so your title would be AFL-CIO.
He would do that. But
he would do that, but it was channeling Steve.
Nice job.
Three questions. First, you mentioned vulnerability, cybersecurity. So this actually resonates a lot with Dan and me, because we're candidates in cycle, and recently there was an attack on the Secretary of State's website, which made it impossible for us to actually file our contributions. Secretary of State ultimately issued a ruling saying there would be no fines for late filing because we couldn't file. That's just a function of filing. Imagine had that particular application been more dynamic and prevented the state from issuing a check or doing some other function. So, you know, to me, that episode highlighted this cybersecurity piece. So at some point, I think the council would benefit from having potentially you'll tell us it has to be done in a private setting, not a public setting, but have a better understanding of that cybersecurity and what of our systems are vulnerable to outside attack, because it was pretty interesting to watch the Secretary of State's office shut down and all those functions, and it was at risk of interfering with some of the democratic checks and balances that we expect at election time. One of them is transparency.
Yes.
So just food for thought on that. Number two,
May I add, we will provide you with a presentation on that, Commissioner Fish, the council.
Number two is, you mentioned R&D, and woven throughout the presentation is how do we stay current with new technology. But I want to present to you a slightly different concern, which is, who is the person that is in the that we have designated to push back when someone says we ought to upgrade, and is the voice of reason saying why? And I come at this as someone that bought an iPhone once because it was so intuitive and simple. Then Steve Jobs died and new team took over, and all of a sudden I got notified that I could do an upgrade. And I foolishly said yes. And what the upgrade did was it, and I hate to say this, but the upgrade took all the intuitive features of my system and replaced them with exotic features, which I still can't figure out. And I regret the day that I said yes, because the other system kind of worked for me. Mm-hmm. And now I have all this functionality that I never asked for that I can't figure out how to use, and actually gets in the way of the basic functionality that I need. And I'm having a slightly similar experience with the upgrade of Windows. Mm. All of a sudden, I have a menu of options on reading emails and editing emails and doing other things that, frankly, someone at my level doesn't need, and the chances of me actually mastering it are remote. So I hope that somewhere in our system is some place for the skeptic to actually push back on the notion that new is better. That you have. Now, I get that on some technology where there's no longer being serviced by the provider, we have no choice. But I don't want us to just automatically feel like we have to get into this rat race of upgrading for the sake of upgrading, or competing with other jurisdictions because they're making these investments. So just food for thought.
Sure.
And the third observation I wanted to make is a lot of your thoughtful suggestions, really, if I boil them down, I would say that they are attempted workarounds the commission style farmer government. Because a lot of what you're suggesting is, how do you get our system to work better in the technology sphere, given that we have a commission style farmer government?
Yes.
And I actually was struck by how many of the recommendations and how many of the thoughtful comments would actually extend well beyond technology to other things that we're doing. And I have to say, I personally particularly like the communities of interest concept and the cluster around your infrastructure bureaus.
Yes.
And there is a community of interest, and they have some similar customer issues and things they think about. So that's a place to start, and these clusters make sense to me. But I guess just getting back to, in addition to cybersecurity, in addition to the merits of all these things, I also just want us to be humble when it comes time to considering the upgrades and the R&D, and not forget to ask the question about whether it's something we need, or it's nice to have, or whether a more basic system is just as effective and maybe ultimately saves us some money. So,
Commissioner Fish, I too don't want to have technology just for technology's sake. And I think our teams in BTS are the same way. They're very good stakeholders and also shareholders in how we roll technologies out. One of the things when I talk about R&D is the ability to do piloting of software, piloting of hardware, and sometimes stuff doesn't come out the other end. And we say, no, we're not going that route. We did that recently with some power software that we were going to apply on PCs. And we said, well, it was designed to shut the PC off when no one was there and then boot the PC back up when customers arrived at work. Just didn't work, and it was going to cost more money. So piloting is also a part of the R&D. A roadmap, multi-year technology roadmap of where we know we have to make incremental improvements, or we know we have to bring up upgrades, hardware, software upgrades, because of end of life from the vendors. That's what happened with us on Windows 7. That's what happened with us on the Office 365. We literally waited to the last, well, I shouldn't say last minute, last 2 years, we've been working on the Windows 7, of which we have really caught up on that, and I think we only have maybe 67 systems left in the whole city that are still on the XP operating system. And then we also are getting through the Office 365, but of course that took us about what, 12 years to make that move, or 11 years. So I think R&D is, we use it as a big R&D, kind of a generic capture, but we're not an institution or a high-tech firm where we're doing R&D, but it's some of the attributes of R&D that want to keep us so that we can make the right decisions on technology.
By the way, I'd be remiss if I didn't say on behalf of my whole office, thank you for the team that was dispatched to our offices yesterday at the time of the conversion. We had people greeting us when we came to work, helping us set up. I actually don't remember the last time that happened, and it was very thoughtful and very helpful.
Yeah,
that was on the Office 365 rollout. Okay. I'll make sure they get that word back.
Yeah, same with us. It's very well done.
So I have a question following on from Commissioner Fish, and that's your primary customers are the bureaus and the city staff. How do you relate to the Office for Community Technology and the customers who are using, for instance, Portland Online and other technology? Do we know what their systems are and how compatible we are?
For the main customers, we know them very well. There are some peripheral areas that we also want to serve, and we do serve. So the way we know that is through our TBCs, our technology business consultants. But I don't know that we have a whole list of all the outside.
No, I mean the people of Portland.
Oh, and the citizens.
So when we upgrade the Portland Online, sure. It's now got, as Commissioner Fish was saying, a lot more bells and whistles with moving pictures and such. And I know that when I was at home and had an older computer and didn't have the high-speed internet, those things would freeze my computer.
Yes.
Fortunately, my husband is not quite as good as you on the technology stuff, but he's definitely interested in keeping my technology up to date at home.
Mm-hmm.
But not everybody has that capacity. And right. Do we know how many of our customers are using the old dial-up, or how many of them are using different computer systems sure. that might not be able to manage large PDF files, for example?
Commissioner Fritz, I do not believe we actually know the actual counts on this. But when we do implement technology that the citizens will be seeing, we do look in terms of different platforms of how customers might be using that software, and our test scripts allow for that. So we do some testing and quality assurance around different kinds of test scripts. But I don't think that we have a handle on the quantities of XP computers or Windows 7 computers or Macs. But we do test for different levels of technology.
Do we have a community advisory committee that does the alpha testing when we're thinking of rolling out new stuff?
Commissioner Fritz, I don't know that we do, but I could check on that with Rick Nixon, who does a lot of our web-based applications.
I think that would be helpful, because our other customers, the people in the community, don't necessarily know how to navigate through Portland Online. I particularly like the icon that allows you to increase the font size. That's helpful in some of the translation services.
Sure.
It would be good to know which of those pieces people find helpful and which not. I got a scathing email that my bureaus didn't have an easy-to-find link to the email of the director, for example.
Yes.
And that's something that shouldn't just happen in my bureaus. It should be everyone. I know you and your staff were very responsive to that. They happened to write to me. I was able to connect them with you and get that. But it would be nice to have a community technology group, not like our expert technology oversight committee,
no.
but more the general users from different communities who would, maybe just a couple of times a year, we could get them together and ask them to bring their machines in or to do something from home to let us know how well we're doing in serving the wider population.
Commissioner Fritz, I believe that's an excellent recommendation, and I will ask my people to take a look at that and see how we can action it.
Did you want to talk, Thomas?
Yes, that would be good. I did come here for that. I'm Thomas Lanham. I'm the Revenue Bureau Director, and we're a heavy user of services. Of Bureau of Technology Services, and I appreciate a number of the comments that you've made this afternoon, certainly the one about having citizens do focus groups or beta tests of software or interfaces on Portland Online is something that resonates very much with me. The arts tax in particular could have benefited from that had we had more time to actually invite that kind of feedback when we were live and taking payments on Portland Online for the arts tax. We were emailing friends and family and saying, please, make a payment and let us know what you think. There wasn't a real formal mechanism to capture that feedback. So I really appreciated those comments. So really, I just had two comments related directly back to the citywide technology assessment. And The first is the process. BTS should be commended for its process. BTS services deeply impact the core operations of every city bureau. And it's difficult to think of a service the city provides that is not heavily enabled by information technology. And I think the recent power outage is sort of an example of what happens. Not only you can throw in the lights, but even if you had the lights on, if your computer wasn't functioning, how many bureaus would have been making appeals to your offices that we can't really work? Why are we coming to work? So as such, BTS has a solemn obligation to be both prudent and thoughtful as they examine citywide IT environment and propose changes that ultimately will impact every city bureau. And I believe the broad and deep stakeholder involvement BTS undertook in compiling this report reflects their understanding of this solemn obligation. And again, they are to be commended for that. My second comment has to do with database proliferation in the city of Portland. This is something that you've already keyed in on here, and I think it warrants a repeat and maybe an example. In particular, I'd like to call your attention to systems involved in customer relationship management and then collecting revenue. The city of Portland has dozens of revenue collection programs administered by 15 different bureaus. And the history of how we got here is pretty easy to understand. Individual bureaus identified specific needs and, acting in isolation, identified those needs as they arose and addressed them as best they could with custom-tailored in-house or bureau purchased solutions with relatively little BTS oversight or involvement in the decision making. In the majority of the instances, certainly in the past, this was an appropriate way to go about acquiring software because, by and large, there was no viable enterprise solution available. And so, for that reason, it made business sense to address needs in that way. But that is absolutely no longer the case. The city of Dallas, Texas, has completed the consolidation of revenue collection and customer relationship management systems from many departments, and they read like a laundry list of city departments. Water, wastewater, hotel taxes, fire inspections, police alarms, housing, home loans, economic development, code compliance, transportation, and many others. They were all consolidated on the SAP platform that we've already got a heavy investment in. It's a platform that's now mature and stable. I think many bureaus were purchasing software in days when SAP was still relatively in its infancy in terms of implementation, and so that was a risky environment, or there wasn't enough bandwidth within EBS to entertain a lot of bureau-level needs. But now we're at a point where that really ought to be the default place that the city of Portland looks before, and not as an afterthought, we acquire bureau-level software. The proliferation of revenue collection platforms in the city has had far-reaching impacts, including duplication of tasks, duplication of customer records, conflicts in customer records, numerous bills being sent to the same customer by different bureaus, varying interest rate and penalty structures, varying forms of acceptable payment, and increased overall customer confusion. A historical lack of enterprise solutions and a lack of citywide perspective have been the primary drivers of bureaus investing in their own localized, customized solutions. And so your comments with respect to the commission form of government being at least in part, if not in whole, a driver of that dynamic, I think was very insightful. BTS has identified a real opportunity to take a more holistic view, which will save money, streamline operations, and improve customer service, and I believe the time is now right to begin implementing this vision. So I support the recommendations in this report, and in particular, a review of the many different database platforms the city is currently maintaining.
Oh, yeah, that was great. Where is that vision in these recommendations? Which one is
Commissioner Sossman, it's number 6, it's major systems consolidation, which would be a business case, deeper dive as to what's possible for consolidation, going in discussions with our customers in the communities of interest.
So you say major. I mean, a lot of these systems don't strike me as maybe rising to the threshold of major. I mean, if you were to tick off all the revenue collecting software we must have in the city, you know, probably some of those aren't major?
Like. Well, we estimate in software license alone, we could return $2.5 million a year to the city through these consolidations, and that's just on the software licenses alone.
And then, and the second point, which Thomas touched on, and I think you touched on also, is I do sense that SAP is not being utilized to its maximum potential. I mean, after all the investment and all the headaches we went through to get the system up and running, I still sense, and I just harken back to a conversation Commissioner Fritz and I had the other day about asset management software, and I was telling her how, you know, Bureau of Environmental Services has really great asset management software, and she was wondering about, you know, whether parks could use that, I suppose, or adapt it. And it just gets me thinking about where does SAP fit into that, or better utilization of SAP, and do we still have sort of the shadow systems being created?
Commissioner Salzman, I believe we are underutilizing SAP, although we are growing in its capacity for use. And I've been here, 14 months, and just listening to the Executive Steering Committee and the Advisory Committee for SAP, it seems that the customers of SAP are enjoying a resurgence of capacity with that platform. I don't manage the SAP platform. It's under a different section today. But what I've seen since I've been here is that it's growing in its use. There's additional capacity available on SAP that we could make use of.
SAP does fall under your purview, though, doesn't it?
Commissioner Sossman, it actually does not. It's actually under the Enterprise Business Solutions Group that reports directly into the Chief Administrative Officer.
I guess I didn't know that.
Look at that. Thomas, thank you for your testimony. Two questions. I get a text on my phone from AT&T offering me the convenience of just responding with a digit one or two, and I pay my bill, and it deducts it from my bank account. And now AT&T provides my phone service, so they have a certain advantage. But in the not too distant future, will we be able to harness some of these technologies to make it as convenient as possible for our customers to pay bills?
I am not an expert in cross-platform integration like that, but I don't see why not. I cannot envision a reason, and I'm quite certain that our enterprise solution that we have has got to have some capabilities along the lines of receiving payments that are embedded in texts or whatever other technologies are available.
And the second thing is, when you mentioned all the different systems that we have built up to deal with the public, it made me a little nervous for a couple of reasons, one of which is it suggests that we may not even have a uniform and consistent way of dealing with each citizen. And I will tell you, nothing is more off-putting than when you get the communication from a company, let's say, or a third party, that gets your name wrong or uses your full name, not your nickname, or, you know, and I'm going to take my case at home. I sometimes get letters to Mr. Patty Schechter or, you know, Mr. Patty Fish, or I mean, there's 100 different ways you could scramble my name, my wife's name, our partnership, and other things. And I just wonder, and I know how off-putting that is. So, like, I got a letter the other day asking me to fill out a questionnaire, and it said, Dear candidate for the county commission. Well, you know, that was didn't inspire a lot of confidence when I got that. But so to the extent that people are sensitive to the way we address them and communicate with them, I get a little nervous when I hear that we have all these different homegrown systems that may actually have different ways of communicating with the same person.
We absolutely do. That's just a fact of the way the city operates right now. I was jotting down a few examples. Property liens. Your customer information is separately maintained in our lien accounting system from any other system. If I update Commissioner Saltzman's address in that system, it does not replicate to every other system. The water and sewer bills, the arts tax, the business license information system. If you've got an alarm permit at your house, separate system, as far as I know.
You could be sending a follow-up notice to someone reminding them to pay the arts tax, and not have the benefit that Dan's address has been updated in some other account.
Absolutely. And if I were a customer in the city of Portland, I'd be wondering why the heck that is. And the reason that it is because we've got dozens of databases that are housing the same information over and over and over again. And think about the number of keystrokes involved. He learns about the move a month after it happens, and he takes some actions that I then take 3 months later when I learn about it, six, nine, and for as many platforms as we have, we're performing that same task over and over.
Thomas, I want to thank you in public for your work on the sick leave implementation, particularly mentioning that with the businesses where the addresses are no longer valid. Your staff were absolutely amazing in getting that corrected promptly and getting back to the customer. And then also, I think Technology Services was involved in setting up the map so that people can go to portlandoregon.gov/sicktime and type in their business's address to find out whether or not they're inside our city's very wiggly boundary line. The only ones I know of that got it wrong was somebody from a multinational corporation who was concerned about addressing Eugene that did not show up on our system. I was like, well, thank you for asking it. That's quite some distance from here. No, you're not involved. But watch out for when we get it statewide. So anyway, that has been a very complicated project, and I want to thank both of you for your assistance on that.
Thank you.
Other questions for the staff and consulting team?
You know, I can't help but ask one more thing. As your bureaus are individually bringing forward ideas and identifying new database solutions, the default assumption should no longer be we have to have our own internal. The default assumption ought to be what do we already have as a city that we can leverage? And I'm beginning to see some of that now. You talked about the Office for Community Technology and the Revenue Bureau. We're walking our walk. We're moving utility taxes into a module of SAP that we already own. And so we will be the first bureau to do that.
Since you've raised the point, let me just offer you an opportunity. As you know, the water and sewer bureaus are moving to monthly billing, or at least they're offering customers that option. And it's frankly going to take a long time to if everyone wanted to do it, it'll take a long time to convert 160,000 accounts.
Right.
So we're starting with some discrete universes. But presumably, as we do that conversion, we're also updating information, because most people are going to sign up electronically and with an email. And I think this might be the beginning of what you're asking us to do. We may want to have an early meeting, Ben, with David Schaff, to talk about the rollout of this process, since we'll be talking to a huge percentage of Portlanders. And maybe there's a way where we can, with the information we're capturing to facilitate monthly billing, is shared and allows you to update other systems. Because it may be the most timely exercise to get up-to-date information from people.
It is, but because there are so many different systems in the city of Portland, all maintaining the same information or very similar information. The example you raised about being referred to and your wife being referred to by the ways. If I have a database and I try to import data that water is captured, and they've captured T.W. Lanham, who lives on MLK Boulevard rather than Martin Luther King Boulevard, you're going to have a mismatch between that data. And now you've got to put a human eye on that data to individually fix. You can only automate so much data match. And so there's value to that exercise, Commissioner, but it's not as simple as saying, here's the list of the updated information, get the arts tax up. There's a lot of actual work that goes on there.
And we haven't even addressed things like what happens if someone dies.
That's right.
Nothing is more offensive to someone than sending bills and other things to people who are deceased, or the timing of such a communication. And you can just think about all the different ways in which we could shoot ourselves in the foot.
It's a long list.
I appreciate your candid points. Thank you, Thomas. Other questions for the team? Thank you all very much.
Mayor Harrells, the one thing that we did want to address today was the acceptance of the contract deliverable.
Yes, but we want to see if there's anybody signed up to testify.
Oh, okay.
Thank you. You're asking us to accept
the report, which thereby accepts the deliverable from Sierra, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
And gives the green light to move forward with this. So it's slightly different.
There's two things. This recommendations we will continue to work through. I'm not asking you to set the work plan.
Okay.
We will work through with our communities of interest, with our customers on this, and we'll, as we come back with solutions, then we will see you again at council.
Okay.
Well, yeah, we'll take action on that in a minute, but I'm not sure if we have anyone signed up to speak on this.
No one signed up.
You don't. Okay. Then we can't.
So I move the report.
Second.
Further discussion? then a roll call on that motion to accept the report and accept the deliverable Sierra Systems.
Fritz? Thank you for a very clear report, good presentation, and for your leadership of the Bureau, whatever your title may be. Hi. Fish.
You know, Mr. Berry, it's times like this I wish I was had an extra seat for my 10-year-old son, because he's my technology expert. And he's of a generation where he's growing up and accesses technology, has an iPad, does things, and does it unconsciously. I mean, just and looks at his father, the Luddite, and sort of scratches his head and says, what went wrong? I want to thank you all for a very thoughtful presentation and a very candid discussion, as the mayor said. And I think between cybersecurity and the integration of all of our databases, and then, you know, prudent upgrades to our system, and this whole idea of how you take a commission-style form of government and get people to collaborate in ways that benefit our customers, save money, create efficiencies. Those are all great things. One thing I'm concerned about is I don't know that we're going to have the discretionary dollars in the next budget cycle or two to invest. I mean, the mayor's ultimately going to make a decision, but last I checked, you know, our available dollars are heading south, and we have about $30 million of ask parked, so we may have a question of resources. But I deeply appreciate this presentation. I thought it was very thoughtful, and the suggested next steps seem really smart. And if you're seeking commitment from each of our bureaus to be full partners in this, you certainly have the full commitment of my bureaus. Thank you for your work. Aye.
Saltzman.
Well, thanks to Sierra Systems, and thanks, Ben, for your work, and Thomas, for your testimony, too. And I think this is always a work in progress, and it's always a challenge, made more so by this commission form of government. But I think, you know, like I said, I was just surprised just to hear that SAP doesn't really fall under your domain. So somehow we need to look at how we can elevate your position and maybe give you a name change, too, to Chief Information Officer. But I really think it's incumbent upon your office, BT at Bureau of Technology Services, to really be more widespread and to have more clout in how decisions get made by bureaus, regardless of whether they fall into the general fund or not. And so we need you to be more of a throttle. And if there's things we need to revisit in terms of the administrative structure, then I think we should do that, and we should do it right away. And there's no reason to wait. But I do think we're going to continue to have the litany of issues that Thomas just ticked off unless we do something sort of bold. And I think we have some good good information on which to act upon now. But it's a question of getting that all distilled down to some very simple stuff that those of us up here who are not technology experts can make sure that our bureaus are toeing the line, so to speak.
Thank you.
Hales.
Yeah, I want to second those comments and sort of put it a little different way, and that is, as a longtime fan of the commission form of government, I don't think that's an excuse for us to not think like a single organization for purposes of these kinds of systems and the need to integrate them. So, you know, it falls to all of us, because we have the commission form of government, love it or otherwise, to say here as we are today, you know, we intend as the governing body for us to operate this way and to sort of chase down these inconsistencies or, you know, in some cases dysfunctional folkways and fix them, and to empower our managers to manage and all of our workforce to say, wait a minute, couldn't we, and have that kind of thinking and behavior rewarded and never punished? So I think we have to set that tone and then, again, empower people like Ben and others to change things because we all know that's better than balkanization. So I think, we have to counterbalance whatever natural drift there might be in this system by those kinds of messages from us, directions, following through on. That's why I asked the question about, was there stuff that sort of gets left behind in this report, because it's pretty important. You'll be primarily responsible for following through on the work that Sierra's done and making sure that this isn't a shelf study and that we turn it into real change. So I think we have to continue to express those messages, which you've heard here consistently from us today. And then, as Dan said, make the changes. I think we can also rely a lot on Fred Miller, our CAO, our acting CAO, because he's bringing some fresh eyes along with good work with his bureau managers here to this effort. So appreciate the good work. Let's keep hearing from you about each of the items on this list and our progress. Yeah, Commissioner Fish is right. We don't have an infinite amount of resource available to action to take action on everything, but we also have to keep looking for how we capture the savings that technology does bring us. To go back to my own example a little earlier and to get a little whimsical, it could be that once we have all of our police officers wearing Google glasses, that we don't need to maintain all those vehicle cameras anymore. It could be once we have a change in state law and a lot of equipment installed that our traffic safety program relies more on photo radar and intersection cameras than it does on officers on motorcycles, and we won't need as many of them. Could be that after our officers are wearing body cams, we don't need to have as elaborate a review process for officer behavior as we have today in the auditor's office, because you can push a button and play back the incident. So we're not there yet in those savings that that technology could bring, but it could, and then it's our responsibility to capture that and change budgets accordingly, which is also difficult to do in any form of government. So again, I hope these messages help reinforce, one, the importance of this work, and two, a commitment by me and the rest of the council to make sure that we do think like an enterprise as we take advantage of this good advice. Thank you very much for good work. Aye. Thank you all.
Thank you.
And we're adjourned until next week. Yeah.